Text for the sermon this morning is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Ephesians, the Holy Spirit of God is concerned, first of all, that we understand and believe sound doctrine. And second, the Holy Spirit is concerned that we practice that sound teaching or doctrine. In order to confess and also to practice sound doctrine, you must have wisdom. You must have the wisdom that comes from above. You must have God's wisdom. You must have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal wisdom of God. Apostle Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Christ Jesus became for us wisdom from God. Wisdom is more than knowledge. Wisdom is a godly knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need this wisdom, and therefore we should want to have this wisdom. How can we get this wisdom of God? First, the source of this wisdom is the Holy Spirit. We should not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but rather we should be filled with God, the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is the source of all God-given wisdom. No person has true wisdom apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in him. The Holy Spirit of God must open his mind and open his heart to hear and to receive God's holy word, the Bible, and to understand it. Only the Holy Spirit of God is able to renew our nature, to open our hearts, to open our minds to the light of God's truth, from which all wisdom comes. This is stated so clearly in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There's only one place that you can get wisdom, and that is from the triune God, and in particular from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, through the working of the Holy Spirit. That is the same as saying that you must get wisdom from the Bible, which is the word of Christ. You cannot get the wisdom of God from your own ideas, from what you think in your own head. You cannot get the wisdom of God from your feelings, from how you feel in your heart. The Lord says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You cannot get God's wisdom from all the ideas of men. You cannot get God's wisdom from the judges of the land, from the senators, from the representatives, from the president, from the county commissioners, the governors, the city council members. You cannot get God's wisdom from the newspaper or the magazines or the television or the internet if they're not filled with the word of God. If they're only filled with the ideas of men. You cannot get God's wisdom from man's counsel or from man's wisdom. You cannot get the wisdom of God from the study of man whether it be in psychology or sociology or some other field of study. You can only get the wisdom of the living God from the living Word of God. The Lord says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, "Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live." Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. God's wisdom is written down for us in the Bible, which is the Word of Christ. The Word breathed out or inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. If you want to have wisdom, you must let the Word of Christ come into and dwell within your heart richly in all wisdom. That is the same as being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. One of the great truths of the Bible is that you must never separate the Spirit of God from the Word of God. There are people who think that they have the Holy Spirit of God and they do all kinds of things that are contrary to the Word of God. They're contrary to the Bible. They do not really have the Spirit of God and they do not really have the wisdom of God. The more you have the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God, the more you are going to see how those two are inseparably tied together. The man who is filled with the Spirit is the man who knows the Bible so thoroughly, so completely, that the wisdom of God Himself flows out of him in the words of God Himself in Holy Scripture. The man who has God's wisdom without measure is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus always said, "It is written." You err not knowing the Scriptures. Have you not read what God said in Genesis? If we're going to have wisdom in order to live the Christian life, in order to honor God, we need to read and understand the Bible. In the summer of 2008, I had a delightful visit with a godly pastor who had a great influence in my life. Several months later, on February 13, 2009, he went home to the Lord, his Savior in glory. And at that visit, a friend of mine asked him, "What advice would you give to a new Christian?" And he immediately replied, "Read the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures." He said it three times. We need to let the Word of Christ come into our hearts and minds and dwell in us richly so that it governs our emotions, our words, our actions, our entire being and living. By nature, man does not have wisdom. He's completely devoid of God's wisdom. In fact, in the Scriptures, God calls man foolish, a fool. The whole revelation of God in the Bible is given to us so that we might have wisdom. We cannot have the Holy Spirit of God without the Bible. We cannot have the wisdom of God without the Bible. If there's anyone who thinks that he can be filled with the Spirit of God but have little or no interest in the Bible, I want to tell you something as clearly as I can. It is never going to happen. Never. If you're not interested in studying the Bible, you are not interested in being filled with the Spirit. And this is the Spirit's word right here. You're not going to find it anywhere else than here in the Bible. And that brings us to the second thing. What is the method set forth in our text for getting this wisdom? The Lord says in our text in Ephesians 5 verse 19, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in Colossians 3:16, we have it put this way. The Spirit says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God commands us to speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. Do you do that? Do you speak God's word in the psalms to your husband or to your wife? To your parents or to your children? To your brother or to your sister? To other believers? In Colossians 3 verse 16, God commands us to teach and to admonish one another using God's word in the psalms. Do you do that? Do you even know the psalms well enough to use them to teach and admonish one another? In our text, God also commands us to sing to the Lord His own word that the Spirit of God breathed out. Be filled with the Spirit of God so that you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, so that you sing and you make melody in your heart to the Lord who made you and who redeems you from all of your sins. And the Lord repeats this same command in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, that the word of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through the Holy Spirit, dwell richly in you, so that you teach and you admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, so that you sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We find the source of wisdom in the Word of Christ, which we have written in the inspired Word of God, the Holy Scripture. No man has the right to teach and to admonish others except on the basis of Holy Scripture. Did you ever hear a preacher preach on a text from a contemporary human author? It happens in churches that claim to be Christian, right here where we live. No man has the right to teach and admonish others on the basis of man's uninspired word. We may only teach and admonish one another on the basis of God's holy inspired word, which is infallible, which is inerrant, which is authoritative, which God has written for us in the Bible. We should be filled with the Spirit and with Christ and with His Word. That is what Paul is saying here. In our text, the Word of God breathed out by the Holy Spirit is specifically mentioned in the words, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We recognize psalms as referring to the 150 psalms in the book of Psalms, which is the largest book in all of Holy Scripture. And then we have the word hymns. And then we have the phrase spiritual songs, or literally songs of the Spirit. Songs of the Spirit are songs that are breathed out by the Spirit of God. They are inspired songs of praise, of thanksgiving. In our text, the Lord does not tell the believers to write songs to speak to one another, but rather to use the songs that the Spirit of God has already written through holy men whom God Himself chose to record His holy word. Psalms and hymns and songs are used over and over again in the formal titles of many of the psalms in the book of Psalms. For example, this morning we read Psalm 92. The title of Psalm 92 is a song for the Sabbath day. Since Psalm 92 is part of Holy Scripture, we know that Psalm 92 is a song and a psalm breathed out by the Holy Spirit of God. For Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, it is breathed out by God. And it is profitable for doctrine. That means for teaching. It is profitable for reproof. That's similar to admonishing. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instructing in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Psalm 120 through Psalm 134 are each called a song of ascents. These were songs that the Israelites sang as they went up to the mountain of God in Jerusalem to worship the Lord at the three feasts that God commanded them to keep every year. Several psalms, such as Psalm 76, use both psalm and song in the title. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 30, and also in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26, we read that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn at the Passover after Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper. And we know that the Jews sang Psalm 115 through Psalm 118 at the conclusion of the Passover. In Scripture, God calls singing those psalms singing hymns. When the Christians in the church of Ephesus read the letter of the Apostle Paul, they understood psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit as the word of Christ, that which was breathed out by the Holy Spirit of God, that which God has given to his people to teach them his wisdom, so that they might speak his holy and inspired word to one another, and also so that they might sing his word to the Lord God, making melody in their hearts, or from their hearts, with all of their heart, sincerely, with all of their being. The word of Christ in the book of Psalms is the means by which we are filled with the Spirit of God and filled with the wisdom of God. And it is the means by which we speak the word of Christ to one another and teach and admonish one another. In the Reformation, the people of God spoke the wisdom of God to one another using psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. They taught and admonished one another with the book of Psalms. The Reformed churches sang the inspired psalms to the Lord. The reformer John Calvin had all 150 psalms put to music for the church to use in the praise of God. And the very first book published in this land in which we live, America, was the Bay Psalm Book. They published 1,700 copies of it. It was published in 1640 in Cambridge, Massachusetts, by the Puritans who settled Massachusetts Bay Colony. And there are still several copies in our land today. The people who have spoken to one another in psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, teaching and admonishing one another with the inspired words and the heavenly wisdom of the Lord God Himself, singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord throughout their daily lives, have been richly blessed by God. They gain a deep and abiding knowledge of the Bible. It's always with them. It comes out on their lips. It's in their minds and in their hearts. They memorize the book of Psalms. It's a wonderful guide and encouragement in daily life. It's a rich comfort in old age as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the Lord commands us to speak words that give grace to the hearer. One way that we are able to speak words that give grace to the hearer is to use the psalms and hymns and songs breathed out by the Spirit in speaking to one another. And when we sing the word of God, we sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been doing this today? Did you speak with grace in your heart to God yesterday, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or were you speaking words from your own heart, from your own mind, from your own feelings that tore down the other person, that were a heavy weight of malice and bitterness and evil? That's not what God wants us to speak with our mouths. That's not what He wants us to speak to one another. He wants us to speak to one another words of His grace, words of His love, words of His peace, words filled with His joy. He wants us to build up one another. He wants us to be kind to one another. He wants us to speak from tender hearts to one another, forgiving one another even as God in Christ forgave us. He wants us to speak His wisdom. You do that when you speak the words of Holy Scripture. When you speak the words of the Psalms, when you hide them in your heart. If you do that when you come to the end of your life, you will desire to fill your mind with the visions of heaven in the book of Revelation, and you will respond with appropriate responses from the book of Psalms. You will have a vision of heavenly things, and you will respond in heavenly language. That's what you have in the inspired Psalms of the Bible. The Psalms are the songs and the prayers, the thoughts and the words of the Lord of glory Himself, our God and Savior, our King and Redeemer. When we come to worship God, we should sing the best to the Lord. We should sing the wisdom of God. We should speak to one another in heavenly words. And that is what we confess in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, section 5. The reading of the Scriptures with godly fear, the sound preaching and conscionable hearing of the Word in obedience unto God, with understanding, faith, and reverence, singing of psalms with grace in the heart, as also the due administration and worthy receiving of the sacraments instituted by Christ, are all parts of the ordinary religious worship of God. Our fathers from the time of the Reformation believed this and practiced it. But sadly, over the last 100 years and more, we have turned away from the inspired and heavenly wisdom of God for daily life in our homes and at work and for worshiping God, which God has given to us in the psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit recorded for us in Holy Scripture. Some people think that we should not have thrown out all the inventions, the human inventions of the Roman Church, such as pictures of God, pictures of Jesus, incense, candles, all the robes, and other things. But the Scriptures teach us that our fathers were right to throw out all those things, because only God Himself in His Word is qualified to tell us what He wants in His worship. The primary purpose of singing in worship is not expressing ourselves. No, in the Bible, God says that the primary purpose of singing in worship is to make known the great glory of our triune God. And in the process of singing the great glory of God, the Word of Christ Himself changes us. It transforms us. It lifts us up. It encourages us. It teaches us. It admonishes us. It guides us. It blesses us. And then in turn, we are able to teach and encourage and help one another all through the day and the week, the months and the years. In the process of singing, the Word of Christ dwells richly in us. It renews our sin-darkened minds. It renews our hearts. It transforms our lives so that we bring more glory to God. And we are more thankful for His grace and his salvation, for his wise providence and his perfect government of us and of our lives. The alternative is selfish complaining and grumbling. And the Lord warns us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, do not murmur and complain, if some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Let the word of the Lord Jesus Christ come in and dwell in your hearts. Teach and admonish one another with the word of Christ. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sing the inspired words of Christ. When the church of God does this faithfully, there will be a mighty reformation and work of the Spirit of God in the hearts of his people and in the church, just as there was in the time of the Reformation in the 1500s. When you pass through the valley of the shadow of death, what you want is comfort that is as solid as the rock of ages himself, even our Lord Jesus Christ. The words of the Psalms, the hymns and songs of the Spirit of God will give you that comfort. They will give you that peace. They will give you the joy and hope and love that you cannot get from anything other than the holy and inspired Word of God, the heavenly wisdom of God that comes from above, which He has revealed to us so graciously, so powerfully in the Scriptures for our admonition, for our comfort, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. If you do not know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death by the working of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, then you will not have comfort and peace and joy and everlasting life, which God gives us in His Word. Instead, you will be angry and sad, bitter and restless, unhappy, and you will complain and lash out at people. And the worst news is that you will perish under the eternal judgment of God. What a terrible judgment that will be. And as the ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, I plead with you this morning, and I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are wisdom. We thank you that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We thank you that your word is wisdom. Wisdom without any mixture of dross, without any pollution from man. For holy men spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, so that the words that they spoke, the words that they wrote, the pages of Holy Scripture are indeed your very own word. And Father, this morning we come to your word. And we pray for the working of your Holy Spirit in us, that the word of Christ may dwell in us richly. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that as we go from this place today, your word will dwell in us richly. And that first of all, we will be taught and instructed by it. And then that we will be able to teach and encourage and instruct others also with your holy wisdom through your holy word. Father, we thank you that you fill us with joy, that you fill us with peace, that you give us your comfort, that you give us an everlasting hope because you have given us everlasting life in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you feed and you nourish our souls unto everlasting life through the Scriptures, and by the working of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will fill us more with that Spirit. Fill us more with your Word. And may our words, and may our lives, and may our hearts overflow with your wisdom, with your Word. That you might be praised, that you might be glorified. And that your peace and love and joy may fill us and fill those around us and permeate our homes and fill our lives in everything that we do. And Father, may your church be filled with your word, filled with the Spirit, and filled with the joy, the truth, the peace, the love, the righteousness that comes from the word of Christ. Forgive us our sins and grant to those, Father, who are outside of Christ, who have no hope and no peace, grant, Father, that they too, by the mighty, powerful working of the Spirit, may rest in the Lord Jesus, and that your wisdom and the word of Christ might fill their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.